Today's episode is brought to you by Terror Nerd Gear. Terror Nerd Gear is bringing you those nerdy items that you should have in your life. From comic coasters to t-shirts, from stickers to art prints, Terror Nerd Gear's goal is to create a brand that allows you to show your nerdy side and not be afraid to do so. Join the Nerd Club today at www.terrornerd.com.
Hey everybody, this is Charlie from Anthrax, and you're listening to the MacNez Podcast.
Welcome to the MacNez Podcast.
Yo, what's up, everybody? MacNez Podcast, episode 110. Back in the place to be. We got special guests. We got Desmond from Desmond's Flicks coming at you in just a second. Everyone that's listening to all these shows, thank you so much. You all listen to East Society and all the other stuff we got on the SkaterNez Podcast Network. Again, bottom of my heart, thank you so much. But hey, I'm not here to thank you guys like I do every episode. You know I don't do this every week, but whenever I get a chance so I can. But hey, like I said, I got Desmond from Desmond's Flicks coming at you right now. Let's get into this. Yo, what's up, guys? I'm back. You heard him on The Horror Returns. You watch him on YouTube and you listen to his podcast. We got the one and only Desmond from Desmond's Flicks. What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
Right on, man. I mean, first thing from me, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I first heard of you through friends of mine, The Horror Returns. I can't remember what you were on there for, but I mean, it was cool, man. I think what really touched my heart was Lance was telling me, goes, yeah, this guy's from Oakland too. And I'm like, oh, what? Really? So I had to give your channel a look to, man. You have been on a roll, man. I'm scrolling through your YouTube page now. Look him up on Desmond's Flicks on YouTube and just enjoy. First of all, how did you get into horror?
I mean, as a little kid, man, it was like, I remember very vividly, I was about 4, maybe 5 years old, and I was with my mom and my brother, and A Nightmare on Elm Street was on. And I was born in the 80s, I was born in 84, so we were watching it, I think, like, on VHS or something, and my brother's like, no, you have to sit here and watch it. And he made me keep my eyes open and watch the original Nightmare on Elm Street. And it scared me, but it also really just made me even more curious about what I'm watching. And from there, I went on to Friday the 13th, and then Tales from the Crypt was like what I watched every single weekend. That was like my Saturday morning cartoons. I actually had Darren Wilson on about a week or two ago to talk about our favorite episodes from Tales from the Crypt. So that was like a nostalgia trip, because that's what really got me into horror films. It just kind of went from there, where as a kid I was watching slasher, a lot of Friday the 13th, and as I got older I got into like more international and indie films, and because I always like talking about films in general and especially horror, I thought, why not start a YouTube channel and a podcast where I can talk about it and bring my friends on and we can, you know, just shoot the shit.
Well, that's cool, man. Horror-wise, what's your favorite horror film? Or I know it's kind of a hard question for some people because there's so many different genres of horror. But if you just have to pick one out of your go-to, you've seen it a billion times and never get tired of it, which one is that?
That would have to be The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Right on. Awesome film. You say you were born in 84. Yeah, I was born. I'm an old man now. I'm a grandpa. I was born in the early 70s. And my introduction to horror was the very first Night of the Living Dead. I remember watching that with my brother, our babysitter at the time. He goes, "Hey, man, let's watch this movie." And we're like, I was a little kid. Okay. I had no idea what I was going to watch and didn't realize that that film, how much that film has affected me. As other than scaring the hell out of me as a little kid, but to show me the love for horror films, because I, at that time, I was just cartoons and Romper Room and all that. Romper Room, if you guys don't know what that is, look it up. something from the Bay Area for us Bay Area kids. But I got into it, and then I was like, okay, and I wanted more. This is when I was also introduced to a show back in the day called Creature Features. It came on Saturday nights on KTVU Channel 2. And so I watched that like religiously. They don't show it anymore. I mean, they kind of brought it back, and I think it's more of a YouTube channel now, but it's not the same as it was. There was a host named Bob Wilkins. He sat there, talked about horror movies, rocked back and forth, and smoked his stogies. But I was introduced to all the old things, like the Universal Monsters, and there was a lot of Dracula, and I remember Peter Cushing films always on, and then slowly we started getting into the newer things, and then it got a little slapsticky, and then it kind of just, the show just faded away. But by then, horror was already in my blood, and me living right around the corner from a movie theater, the Parkway Theater, it's still there, but it's not open. It's on Park Boulevard, close to Lake Merritt, and going there like every weekend to watch movies, and majority of them were either horror movies or action movies. And that's where I saw everything. That's where I was introduced to Friday the 13th, all the Nightmare on Elm Streets, all the Halloweens. I mean, everything from the 80s. Also in the era of me was this is when everything that was made into movie went to the theater before video took over. So that's my kind of my introduction to horror. Did you grow up in the Bay Area? Are you from Oakland?
Yeah, I'm actually from Fremont. Born and raised in Fremont, California. But we'd always be in Oakland pretty much like every other weekend to hang out in Jaclyn Square. But I've always been a Bay Area kid. Lived in SF for a little bit. But I've been living in Oakland now for 5 or 6 years. But I love the Bay. There's nothing like the Bay.
Oh yeah, I hear you. I moved out back in 96 once the kids started coming, and the neighborhood that I grew up in just wasn't the same anymore. I mean, never heard gunshots when I was growing up, and then slowly as I got older is when it started. So I kind of, you know what, I don't want my kids growing up around this, so we moved out. I actually moved up north closer to Reno to where my wife is from, but I go to the Bay pretty much every other weekend. My son got tired of this little town that I live in, and he lives in Berkeley now, and he loves it. He's doing the whole Bay Area thing. So he pretty much grew up there his whole life. He was born in Berkeley, but he pretty much was raised here in Susanville, where I live, and then all my family still live in the Bay Area. I got brothers, aunts, uncles, and what have you, and all my friends are still there. But, yeah, the Bay is in my heart, man. You could take a kid out of the Bay, but you can't take the Bay out of the kid, especially Oakland. That's what I claim. Everyone that listens to the show already knows that. But with your YouTube channel, before we roll into your podcast, I mean, what gave you the motivation to, you know what, I want people to see me. I want people to see what I love. What made you start the YouTube channel?
Well, it started originally from watching other YouTubers. So I was watching Drum Dumbs for a while, Lee McCoy. He has like an awesome channel. And I was watching his videos for about a year. And after about a year or so, I was like, you know what? This seems like fun. I think I'll just do this as like, you know, my side hobby. And so I just started making my own videos. I originally started with the Friday the 13th retrospective series. And I ran with that for about a year, but that's what started it all, because I'm a big Friday the 13th fan. It's my favorite horror franchise. And that was kind of how it started. And I literally was making my videos on my cell phone and using iMovie editing on my phone. And after about a few months of that, and I saw that it was gaining some traction and that I was really getting into it, I decided to upgrade, and I started to put a lot more more editing into my videos and make it a bit more interesting. And I've started to branch out of just doing the reviews and retrospectives. I do interviews. I also will go to horror conventions and talk to a lot of the people that are the vendors, especially like small indie companies. Recently, I had someone from Wonderland Craft send me a mystery box that I unboxed to show off some of their product. And I love doing stuff like that where I can promote other local artists and their work. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of how it started and how it's evolved over the last year now.
Well, that's cool, man. I'm still looking at your videos. Sinister Creature Con, I was at that one.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, before I didn't know you then, so that would have been really cool. Yeah, I watched that video, man. That was cool, man. I mean, that's what I like. I mean, I do love going to the bigger cons, but the little small intimate ones are usually the best. And I think the guests there are just a little more down to earth and really cooler there. I mean, CJ Graham, the picture on your thumbnail, man, he was awesome, dude. I'd seen him before, but he seemed, I mean, not so okay, that's Jason, and I'm scared of you, but it was just like this big guy, man. He looked like a wrestler, and I was like, whoa. But once I started talking to him, he was like, oh, man, nah. He was like really cool and gave me a hug and all that, and I was like, whoa. I mean, if you just saw him in a dark alley, you'd probably like turn around and walk the other way. But.
Right. Yeah, he's a cool man. I love that guy. He was so cool to talk to. And speaking of Sinister Creature Con, like if you're gonna be there in June, I'm planning on being there as well. And they've got a really great lineup this year. They've got Kane Hodder and Phyllis Rose, Linnea Quigley, David Howard Thornton. They got the guy who does the Crypt Keeper voice, just a bunch of other, Doug Bradley and Ashley Lawrence from Hellraiser. So they've got a fantastic lineup this year. I'm super excited to go and check it out.
Are you going, which day are you going to go?
Probably going to try to go for the weekend, mostly because like the lineup this year is like the best I've seen that they've had over at Sinister Creature Con.
Yeah, my wife and I, on our way to the Bay Area, we're going to swing in there for the day. We're going to go on Saturday because that was the last one, the one that I went to when CJ and all those guys were there. Talked to a bunch of people there, which was awesome. Other than talking to vendors and just getting to see what they love, and especially all the arts and crafts that are there. I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of good artists. I mean, I'm an artist, kind of. I mean, I do just pencil and ink drawings, but, I mean, the stuff that people make are amazing. I mean, just it's just awesome. And I love going to the Scottish Rite Temple. It's really small, it's not too big, but there's so many people that comes out to these events. Other than the Sinister Creature Con, every now and then they have make a little small anime or a sat con. I'm not too sure if they still do those anymore, but Sinister Creature Con, it's a good con. I went to the two of them in Sacramento, and I went to one that was a little bit bigger in Stockton. But I mean, yeah, dude, we'll totally hook up. If you're going to be there.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Rolling into your podcast, I mean, is it pretty much what you're doing on your channel, just audio, or is it just two totally separate projects?
Yeah, I mean, I try to have the podcast be a little bit different than the YouTube channel. I do bring some of the podcast episodes to my channel if I feel like it would be fun to pair with some visual. But otherwise, it's mostly getting friends of mine on or other podcasters that I've either been a guest on or I know through other people. And I'll bring them on and we'll talk about a couple of movies. Recently, I had Court Psyops from Cinema Psyops on. That's going to be coming out this upcoming week, where we talked about The Collector and Don't Breathe. Because if you like this film, then you'll like this. That was the kind of theme that we're running with. And I try to find some kind of a theme to have going on with my guests. Some of my gas will like really be into Stephen King novels. So I had my buddy from Derek's Horror Corner on, where we broke down both the original Pet Sematary and the remake of Pet Sematary and talked about those for about a couple hours. So I like it to be like really free form where we break down the films and talk about them in really deep detail. Whereas on the YouTube channel, it's a lot more compressed. Like, it'll be like a 4-minute video where I'll give a review for a film.
Well, that's cool. Going back to your YouTube channel really quick. I'm looking at one of your Friday the 13th retrospectives. The credits. You said you do it all. What program do you use now? You said you were using your phone at first.
Right. Yeah, went from using my phone to using like an old laptop I had with iMovie on it. And now I'm over on a PC now. I basically took one of my old gaming PCs and made it into just a video editor where I do all my video editing in Premiere Pro. I also do my podcast in Premiere Pro as well. And then I also do all my thumbnails in Photoshop. So it's like my workhorse for everything from my channel. And that computer's only dedicated to that.
That's pretty cool. You're using clips from the films. I mean, are you still on the low that no one's coming after you? Or?
Well, I have gotten a couple of, and thankfully I haven't gotten any copyright strikes. I've gotten more copyright claims. But what I found that works, and it's all under fair use. So I try to think about how much of the movie I show. So that's why usually my videos are like 4 minutes long. So I'll try to just like do 10-second clips and then put them all together into one video. So then that way it's like I'm not just showing like the entire freaking movie. But that's kind of like the way that I found my way around it. I haven't gotten in any trouble, but I've definitely gotten like, hey, Universal is claiming this video. So as long as you're not just blatantly stealing something, they won't come after you. But I mean, YouTube is not as creator friendly as, from what I know, how it used to be, just because of how the algorithm is, and it just does a wide copyright claim. I actually had a buddy of mine who only used one photo from a film, and it was from The Truman Show. And the copyright claimer, they claimed his video, and it was just a photo. And he's a pretty small channel, like maybe 400 subscribers. And he actually challenged that and then won the claim. So they got the copyright claim taken off, which, you know, is good to see that YouTube and those larger companies are starting to listen a little bit more to the smaller YouTubers.
Okay, because we're slowly gonna start our YouTube channel, but yeah, my buddy, man, I gotta give him a few kicks. Come on, man, let's do this. But we're both busy, man. It's just work and life and everything. But we try to do what we can do. We're usually pretty good weekly with our shows, but. I've been pushing him. No, I think we need to do like more video work, and definitely, dude, if I do have if I have questions, man, it would be cool to reach out to you and, hey, man, I'm not sure what I'm doing. Can you help me?
So. Oh, absolutely, man. Anytime. And I do this for a living. Like what I do for a living is design. So it's like, I know my way in and around a lot of these programs because it's what I do all day for my job.
What do you do, if I can ask?
Yeah, so I'm a UX designer. So a lot of what I do is basically wireframing out how a page is going to look, whether it's for like a large retailer or for a smaller company. I basically put together how the site is going to flow and how a user would go from one place to the next. I think about all the different permutations within that. I find it a lot of fun. It's like a lot of it is just kind of getting in the head of the user and how they want to be able to progress through a website and make it as easy as possible.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's cool. I mean, well, geez, now I know that you can do that. You can also help us. When we get to that, we're still yeah, we've been a podcast for about 3 years, but I always try to go, no, let's do something else. Man, we make little videos, but just little quick minute videos that we throw on Instagram that aren't much. But it's because my buddy, he lives so far away. It's hard for us to get together and do it at times because he lives way up in Eureka. That's about 5 hours from where I'm at. Or no, 3 hours. So, but when we are together, we do what we can. Because when we go to Comic-Con in San Diego, we try to do as much as we can. Especially, I mean, anytime we're together, we try to bust out just mini episodes, everything, quick little videos and this and that just to throw out. So, but I'm looking at the intro to your videos, this awesome retro 80s Desmond flicks. That's what I noticed the very first video I watched. I was like, wow. I said, oh man. I mean, like I said, I'm a kid of the 80s. I love just the 80s retro stuff when I see it. And like I said, when I clicked on your first video, when after I heard about you, I was like, whoa, okay, man, I can get down with this guy, man.
I love the 80s. I love, like, one movie that I will watch on repeat over and over and over again is Commando, and I have it on VHS, and I literally have a VCR in my bedroom with, like, this old-ass TV, and I'll watch VHS movies in there, and Commando was, like, always my go-to. Which I'm actually thinking about, like, branching out a little bit on my channel and getting into, like, those 80s action movies that I love, because I know there's so many people out there who grew up with those movies like I did.
Yeah, I mean, I just, like, everything, and not everything from the 80s. There's some things that I frown upon, but majority of the horror and the action and just the slapsticky R-rated comedies like Porky's and stuff like that. I mean, that was just stuff that I grew up on, that which I just love. Friday the 13th, you said that's your favorite franchise. There's, what, 10 movies? Well, 10 in the original series and then the TV show and then this reboot, remake, whatever you want to call it. Out of everything dealing with Friday the 13th within the franchise, even the video games, I mean, are you familiar with, well, right now there's two video games, the old NES one and this new one for PS4 and Xbox. What are your thoughts on those two games as a whole?
Yeah, and one thing about me is I'm a major gamer. I love gaming. So even as a kid, I was a gamer. So I remember playing the Friday the 13th game. I think it was by LJN when that came out. On the NES, and I rented it from, it was either Hollywood Video or Blockbuster, and I could never really get very far in it because Jason would always kill me. I'd always stumble upon him, you know, you're just like, oh shit, all right. And the newer game, I dug it, especially if you get like a good group together that is all on chat. It can be so much fun. And any time that I play as Jason, I would act like I was a housekeeper. So I would just talk into the microphone and say, hey, it's housekeeping. I'm here to clean your room and break down the doors and just keep talking about being a housekeeper. You know, you just do stupid shit like that. And I had fun with all of those games. They're a ton of fun.
Yeah, the first one, I remember when it came out, we were all excited. A buddy of mine, he's also a Friday the 13th fan. And so he got it and I remember, I got it, come over. So I ran over there really quick. And playing it then and playing it now, I play it whenever I can. But it just didn't make sense. I mean, it was fun, but we're like, you can't, what are we supposed to do? What's the objective of this? You can't kill Jason. So it was just like, okay.
Right.
I mean, I'm still on the lookout for it. I mean, as a collector, I like to collect. Friday the 13th is also my just go-to, which I love. I love that all these NECA Jason figures that they're coming out with. I try to pick up. I think I have the whole NECA line, but there's other ones that I'm trying to get. But I should have bought them when they first came out. Now they're like really pricey. But
right.
Friday the 13th, man, it's just something that I love. I mean, that's the first one, the 1980, the original one. That's my all-time favorite horror film. horror slasher film, whatever you want to call it. But that was us. That was a film that I saw that my brother took me to see, and I just fell in love with that. Didn't have no idea what Jason was of who this iconic slasher is now, because in that one, everyone knows it was his mom. And then we roll into the next one, and it's, okay, Jason's here, and he's got a sack on his head, and all right, cool. But once the hockey mask came into play, I think that's what took over Friday the 13th. I mean, because when you think of Friday the 13th, especially someone that doesn't really know the franchise, you ask, hey, Friday the 13th, they go, oh, Jason. And then when you try to get him to watch the first one, like my son, I got him to watch it. He kept going, where's Jason? Where's Jason? And I'm like, son, this is the beginning. You have to get through all this before you get to that. So he ended up getting through all of them. His favorite one, for some reason, I love it too, was Jason Takes Manhattan. It's cheesy, but I don't know. He just loved it for some reason. I think his favorite part is when that guy Jules gets his head knocked off on top of the building.
I always crack up at that scene every single time.
He rewinded that scene over and over and just laughed his little butt off. I'm like, come on, man. But my favorite, other than the first one, I think my second favorite is the final chapter. I really loved what Ted White did with Jason, and I'm a huge Corey Feldman fan, so I always have to go with that one. Are you a collector of, like, just like, this is the only way, toys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and what's funny is way back, like maybe 5-6 years ago, my first YouTube channel was actually a toy review channel. But I ended up not continuing with it because it becomes so expensive. I can't keep up on all the toys. But yeah, I love collecting action figures. I actually have this case in my living room that's all just Friday the 13th. And it's all the NECA figures that I could possibly get my hands on, and statues, and I have like a hockey mask signed by Kane Hodder, stuff like that. And then the rest of my collection is like other NECA figures, and I have some like Funko Pops, and I collect those, and I collect some comic books, usually like stuff that's graded and signed by the artist, like Todd McFarlane signed like an issue of Spawn for me. Just stuff like that I like collecting, and my apartment is like a total nerd cave. I like to call it the version of, like, you know, 40-year-old virgin's bedroom or entire apartment. That's what my apartment looks like.
My house is there's a collectible thing, my little workstation where my record everything. I got alien figures, I got Pops. Wrestling figures. I was with the Pops. The host of the E Society that I do the show with. He made me fall down that rabbit hole, and I'm not as a diehard collector as he is. He collects pretty much anything that comes out in the Pop form. I'm limited. I mean, I'm right now. The only things I really get are either the wrestlers or anything to do with horror. I have most of the Jason ones, but there's a couple that are real pricey, but maybe someday I'll get in my collection, because I have the exclusive from Walgreens, the part two Jason with Zach, and the NES Jason. I have that, and just the other ones, the regular random ones that are out there. There's one was in Comic-Con a few years ago, Jason without his mask, and that's like super expensive. I'm like, I would love that in my collection, but I guess I'll just have to wait until I win the lottery before I pick that one up.
Right. I know. Like, it's pretty wild. Like, just depending on the franchise or how hot it is, the price can fluctuate up and down. And I've been pre-ordering all of my Friday the 13th figures on Big Bad Toy Store because they have it all there, which I was like, fuck yeah, man, I'm going to freaking pre-order all my Jason figures so I never miss one. So I can't wait until that the Roy figure comes out from Friday the 13th Part 5. I'm so stoked for that one.
Yeah, I think the only Roy one I have right now is the Funko Pop one. It was in a blind box, so it was like you had to just luck out and get it. And a buddy of mine found it. He collects pops. And he goes, hey, man, I got this Jason one. You want it? And he sent me the picture. And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, I want it. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, Roy, I mean, that whole Roy Burns, man, his part five, A New Beginning, it really doesn't get much love. And, I mean, it was something that I didn't really care for the first time I saw it. But I saw it so many times in the theater. It was like it grew on me. Now it's like one of my all-time favorite ones. I just watched it recently. And speaking of part five, you had Deborah Voorhees on your show. We just interviewed her with The Horror Returns, and I think she was amazing. I met her once at Texas Frightmare, and she was really cool. So it was good to have be able to talk to her and interview her. How did that come along for you?
Yeah. Oh man, she's such a sweetheart, and I'm in her group, her Deborah Voorhees group. And once I got the podcast going, and I saw that she had the Indiegogo campaign going for 13 Fanboy, I figured I'd reach out to her and see if she'd like to come on to the podcast and talk about 13 Fanboy. And we talked a little bit about Part Five, but I really wanted to focus on her new film coming on, and she was like, absolutely, I'd love to come on. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened. She's super approachable and easy to talk to. Everyone that I've interviewed on my channel, they're all very approachable and cool. Like David Howard Thornton, who played Art the Clown in Terrifier, he's super sweet and was easy to get him on. And plenty of other folks like James Balsamo, like, you know, you meet him at either conventions or through these Facebook groups. And I just find that so many people in the horror community are so down to earth and really chill. And speaking of Friday the 13th Part 5, that was one just like you that it grew on me over time, where I originally wasn't a huge fan of it, but over time, like, it's become one of my favorites, and it's one that I always go back to and have a ton of fun with.
Yes, man. I mean, I love that one. And like I said, and you too, man, we just, the first time I seen it, I was kind of like, this ain't Jason. I mean,
right.
I mean, we saw it like opening weekend, and we were just super hyped, super excited, because we figured if you watch the end of part four, I mean, there's no way he could have survived that. So we're like, okay, cool. Well, they're going to bring him back. And the first thing you see him in the beginning is the scene with him and Corey Feldman. But then you realize it was just a dream. And then we're like, okay, well, where is this going to go? And then the killings start, and you just assume it's Jason. But when we first see Roy in the hockey mask, the first thing I noticed was like, hey, the little marks, the chevrons on his mask are blue. That's not Jason. And you could see both of his eyes clearly. So I was like, okay. And then I love the kills in it. But then when I got to the end and it was just an impersonator, I was like, all right. But this is the first time I saw
right.
it. But seeing it over and over and over, I was like, man, I mean, I really love this film. And I mean, a lot of people still give this one a bad rap, man. And it's been out since 85, but man, it's actually one of the best ones, because I love the Paramount years before it got really, I think from part six on is when it got slapsticky, but I still loved them. I still love Jason right. Lives. I still New Blood and Jason Takes Manhattan. I still love those. But I thought the part five was like a real story. It was someone that Roy Burns, his character, saw his son Joey, picked him up, and his body's all chopped up, and it just made him mad. So he took his revenge out. It was something that, like, that's believable. Not just, okay, there's some right. killer that can't be killed, and it's just on this Rams. This murder spree. Yes, that's what happened to the movies afterwards. But man, I love the Paramount years. What are your thoughts on Jason Goes to Hell?
So I'm conflicted with that one. And that was, even in my review, I was saying that. And on one hand, I really can commend Adam Marcus for trying something different. The director, want to try something different. I commend that. And it's really gory. Like, there's some good kills in that movie. But it's not a Friday the 13th film. It's just not. And I can't characterize it as that, which does bring the score down lower for me, because I only feel like the only reason why you'd watch this is if you're a hardcore Friday the 13th fan and you have to own and see every single film in the franchise, because I'm a completionist when it comes to that. And if I don't have them all, if I haven't seen them all, then it's just not, it's not complete. So that's kind of how I feel about it. I think as a horror film, it's pretty good. And it has some really good practical effects. It has an interesting storyline. It kind of has like this Evil Dead vibe to it, which makes sense since they were in talks about doing Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, which, you know, that would have been dope to see on screen. But as a Friday the 13th film, you only get Jason at the very beginning and at the very end. And that's what I go in to see a Friday the 13th film for. Even if it's an imposter Jason, I want that slasher aspect. And I just wasn't really into like the body hopping thing.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I mean, yeah, I'm a completionist as well. It's in my collection. Had it on VHS, DVD, and Blu-ray. But after my first watch, I remember sitting there like mad. Like, this is not a Friday the 13th film. This isn't hashtag not my Jason. I mean, it was, I was like outraged. I was ready for revolution and ready to riot. And I mean, that's how much Friday the 13th means to me. Yes, as a horror film, it's amazing. I love the practical effects. I love what was going on, but I'm already eight movies deep into the whole series. And right. And then we get to this ninth one, and it's not Jason. I did love the at the very end with the whole they gave us Freddy versus Jason later on. I thought that was awesome, and I did like Freddy versus Jason. It was just a good time movie to watch, but Jason Goes to Hell, it's to this day in 2019, it's still someone says that to me, I get mad. I mean, I watch everything that has to do with it. I watch documentaries. There's a new documentary about to come out on the whole thing, and I will watch it, but it just took my hero and made it something else, to this body hopping slug and all that. And right. I just didn't set right with me. It still doesn't sit right with me, but like you, I'm a completionist, so it has to be there in my set. And I do have the McFarlane Jason. I think it was one of the first ones they did. I do have that in my collection. It just rubs me the wrong way. And I watch it from time to time if I get the urge to watch it. But it's just, it's probably like my least favorite out of all of them. Were you familiar with the TV series?
You know what? I have not watched any of it. I haven't seen the TV series at all.
It's got nothing to do with Friday the 13th. There was just some, if you've seen that documentary, the Crystal Lake Memories, I mean, they did it to, you know what? We need to keep this Friday the 13th name alive, so let's do a TV series. You see Friday the 13th, I'm all in. I remember watching it on Channel 44. Is that Channel 44 still going? KBHK down there?
I don't think so. I don't, you know what? I don't watch television here. It's all like YouTube and, you know, Amazon. So I don't think it is.
Okay. Well, that's the channel that it used to come on Saturday nights. And I would always watch it. Remember sitting there watching the very first one and going, "This, where's Jason? I mean, what's going on?" But I was okay, whatever. It was kind of just a story of these two people. Their uncle owns this store, and he did a deal with the devil, and it went sour. So what they're supposed to do is go around and collect all the things that were cursed in the store to get them all back. Kind of what the Conjuring couple.
Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah, them. What they were doing, getting everything and keeping it all in their little house. It was kind of, that's what they were doing. They're going around. So each week, it was them finding different things and getting it back to their store. But I enjoyed the series. I picked it up on DVD, so I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. But we had that, and then the newer movies started to come along. The Jason Goes to Hell, and then we got Jason X, which I love. But
oh, me too.
I went into the theater ready to hate that one after Jason Goes to Hell. But when I left the theater, I was like, man, that was awesome. Cheesy CGI, cheesy effects, but it was a Jason movie. It was awesome. Our hero came back.
yeah, and that movie is just like, it's so much fun. I can watch that over and over again and laugh the entire time because it's exactly what I want out of a Friday the 13th film. I want to have fun. I want to see some good kills. I want to see, you know, TNA. That's what you go for in a Friday the 13th film. And it has all of that. And it has one of the best kills in the franchise, which is the liquid nitrogen kill where he smashes that chick's head. And it's like, dude, that's awesome. And when we get Uber Jason and he's fighting Robot Chick and she has like all of her one-liners, I mean, come on. She's flipping through the air with machine guns. Like, that's awesome. How can you not love it?
That was a film that when you watch these type of films, you're like, man, if I had a machine gun, I would do this and that. And that's what we got.
Yeah.
Jason X, it was like the creators like, okay, this is what everybody wants. And this is what we're going to give them. And not only on Earth, we're going to put them in space. And,
yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that movie. I come across people that hate it. Not me, man. I loved it. And I do have the Uber Jason. I picked that one up. I'm glad I got that one when I did. It's loose. It's not in the package. I'm an in the package guy, but I'm glad I got that one because if you see that one now in package, it's the price is crazy. And nah, I'm good. But stepping away from what we love, Friday the 13th. Is there other franchises you not like Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street? Is there other kind of you had mentioned foreign films? I mean, what's your favorite horror?
Ah, man, I'm a big fan of both the new French Extremity movement and a lot of Korean revenge films. I'd say from and also I love Japanese horror. But I'd say, like, from the new French Extremity, I would choose – it's hard because there's three of them that I love, and I think that they're all equally great. But I'd probably give the edge to Martyrs. And as far as, like, Korean films, especially, like, Korean revenge, it's – I Saw the Devil, which I think is one of the most fantastic films ever made. And Japanese you know, I love Audition, but I think my favorite, which it's not necessarily a horror film, but it's my favorite like Japanese movie by Takashi Miike, who I think is a fantastic director. It's Ichi the Killer. But those are like my three go-tos out of international films.
All awesome films. I've seen all of them. Ichi the Killer, that was one that was I love it for what it is. But I think that was one that was hyped up to me a little too much. So when when I saw it, I was kind of like, okay, it was all right. But I mean, I do love it. I own it. What was that one video you did? I think you did a Disturbing Films video. And was your number one Serbian film? I
can't remember. It was, yeah.
That's a film.
I had to break that up over two nights. It was really hard to watch.
Do you own it or did you watch it online?
I watched it online. I found it somewhere. Like it's so hard to find, and I wanted to find a physical copy, but it's so expensive. You know, I don't have a region free Blu-ray or DVD, so I had to like just find it online somewhere. And in my review, I did say that it's an add to the collection, which is like a high rating on my channel, the highest instant classic, mainly because. Like from a technical aspect, it's a really well done film and it does set out to do what it was made to do. Like it does shock you, but it also has a pretty good storyline. And it's a pretty simple storyline. And for people who haven't seen it and then they hear about what happens in it, they think the worst of what it is. And don't get me wrong, it's fucked up. This movie's super fucked up. But there's a lot of it that they don't show on screen that you don't see. A lot of it is like looking at the reaction from our main protagonist. I think his name is Miko. And so you get like his reaction. He's disgusted. So I think for people who haven't seen it and are automatically turned away from it, which it's not for everyone. It's not for most people. It's not as bad as people make it out to be, but it's still really messed up.
Yes, that is a film which I do own. I found it on Blu-ray. It was it says unrated. It's not the unrated version. There's some of the scenes, and especially the end, it's a little edited. And I was like, hey, wait a minute, because the first one I had seen was the I found it online. A buddy of mine, I was watching somebody's video. I can't remember what was some random one I came across on YouTube, and I got into this whole disturbing movie kick. And I wrote all these movies down. I saw The Devil. I saw that was one of them. Then there was Antichrist, Serbian film, Solo, and I think I Spit on Your Grave, and all those older ones I had seen already, like Cannibal Holocaust and stuff like that. But the Serbian film one, I think that was like one of the last ones that I watched. I know it was Antichrist, and those are the last two. So I found it. Well, no, I found it. It was on YouTube, and it was like in a million parts. But I was like, I was getting tired of like watching 10 minutes and then clicking on another video. So a buddy of mine, he goes, man, he found it, and he sent me the link. So I watched it, and I'm sitting there on my computer, and I'm like, okay. I think I watched like maybe 40, no, not maybe half hour on YouTube, and then the rest of it I watched on the link, and I was just blown away, like, oh my God. I mean, just what am I watching? Are the police can come kick down my door any minute.
But right.
I was like, oh man. I mean, and other than it didn't make me never want to go to over to that country. I said, is this how they roll over there? I said, I'm never going there. So I'm like, okay. I mean, but once the movie was said and done and it was over with, it was an amazing film. I know a lot of people, some of you that have seen it, go, this guy's nuts. No, as a filmmaker made this film, I thought the score and the soundtrack was amazing. I thought the cinematography was just excellent. And the acting, I bought what this guy was selling, man. And I felt his pain and everything. But the imagery of some of the stuff that was going on, and mainly with the baby scene, is the scene that I just I'll fast forward. But
right.
Other than that, I mean, I can sit through the rest. And the ending was just totally off the wall, brutal and sad. The very, very ending was like really sad.
Yeah. But
it was just like, I could not, I don't doubt they would ever play this here in America in the theaters. I know they have done screenings, but I don't think just, hey, we're going to throw this in the theater and play it all over the place. There's no right. way. There's no way. People will burn the theaters down. But it was, I saw it, and I was like, all right. And I reviewed it on our show. And then I'm like, I need to see this again. So I just love going to like the restaurants and all that. And I found it on Blu-ray. So I said, okay. And I took it home and I watched it again. That's when I realized, hey, man, some of these scenes are short. So I found out that there is a DVD copy that they do sell, and all the boards that I've read, they said this is the uncut one. They said all the Blu-ray versions aren't. So I'm that weirdo. I need the uncut one. So I'll eventually get it. I don't have it, but the one I have is enough. I have yet to subject my wife to it. She loves horror movies as well as my kids. I think my older son watched it, and he said, nah, I'm good. I don't even know if he finished it, but I mean, that was a film that just blew me away. I couldn't believe. I mean, you read the synopsis on what it's about, and okay, that sounds cool. But then once the ride starts, man, I couldn't get off, man. I had to see where it ended, and I was just, oh my God, I just couldn't believe it. And a lot of people, some of my friends that have seen it, are like, dude, you're crazy, you're weird. Why do you like that movie? I don't know. It was just something that was unexpected, and it's probably one of my favorite films in my favorite films list, I would go to that. But a lot of people do when they do their disturbing films, that of that movie is always in there. It's a love and hate thing. Some people love it, some people hate it. So
yeah.
Oh my God. Did you end up seeing
There's no middle ground with that film. Yeah. You either love it or hate it.
Have you seen that Solo one?
I haven't. I actually saw it at Rasputin one day, and I was like, oh, I gotta get that. But I picked up something else instead. I forget what I got, but I planned on going back and getting it when I came back. Well, the next time I came back, it was gone. So I've yet to get a copy of it. I want to get a copy and watch it because I feel like if I'm going to do my part two, which I plan on doing a part two of my most disturbing horror films, because I did get a really great reaction from the first one, I want to do a second one with that film in there, along with Antichrist and some Gaspar Noé movies. It's definitely on my list to watch.
All right. Well, that one, warning, you have to be in the mood to watch something really, really messed up.
I've seen like some clips, and I was watching this one guy named Spooky Rice, and his whole YouTube channel is just disturbing breakdowns. It's kind of like Dead Meat YouTube channel, where he does like the kill count. This guy basically breaks down all the disturbing scenes in a film. And seeing that, I'm like, all right, I gotta pick this up. I know it's gonna like ruin my day, but I have to see this if I'm gonna do another, you know, round of disturbing films. Like, I can't do a complete list if it's not in there.
Yeah, that was one. I saw it, okay, and I found it, and I was like, oh, I just felt. I felt bad. I need to go to church or something. That's how bad I felt after it was over with. I don't know if I could sit through it again, but I mean, I remember enough of it to go, wow. Oh, okay. I mean, it was that one was up there. What I loved about Serbian film was just the filmmaking of it all. I mean, yes, the subject matter is off the wall and crazy, but whoever made this film knew how to make a film, and that's why I really love that film. But a lot of people that I tell that to, they go, I can't watch it because of the subject matter. I'm like, dude, I said, yes, it's gory and it's sick and crazy, but push that aside and appreciate what the cinematographer was trying to do with this scene. But it's crazy, man. There's so many crazy movies out there. I got a little bit into those August Underground ones, but it just got too cheesy. Have you seen any of those?
You know, those ones for me are a hard pass for me because, yeah, a Serbian film, the subject matter is really controversial and it's messed up. But there is a story in that film. There is a real narrative, and there's, you know, like to your point, really beautiful cinematography. There's amazing acting. There's not one bad performance in that film. And the pacing is great. The musical score is great. From every technical aspect, it's a really well-done film. With August Underground, I have no desire to watch a fake snuff film. I've seen enough of clips of it to get an understanding of what it's about. And it's just, it's not for me. I want to be able to have characters that I can not identify with, but characters that I can see, that I can see their journey, that there's some kind of a journey for that character or characters. And in the August Underground films, I just don't really see that. I don't really see any real storyline, and I gotta have some kind of a story in my horror films. Otherwise, it just seems like gore and violence for the sake of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel. A buddy of mine, he's one that got me into those. He had the whole collection. I don't know how many movies there is, but he's like, dude, here, let's watch this. I was like, okay, what is it? And he sold it to me good, but then once I started watching it, I was like, this ain't what you were telling me. I mean, it was just like if you and I, hey, man, we'll just get our friends together and turn a video camera on and just throw blood all over them. I mean, there was nothing... I mean, I'm not hating on the guys that made it. I mean, awesome. I mean, people love your films, but it just wasn't for me. I mean, I was just like, eh, okay, whatever. I mean, right. there's a lot of stuff like on Amazon or even Netflix of just independent filmmaking stuff, man. I mean, but I can appreciate what they're doing when they're trying to make it. But there's just sometimes it doesn't really get a hold of me to where I have to finish it. I mean, there's a lot of zombie films out there, and I'm a huge zombie watcher, so I'll watch it. But if it doesn't get me in the first 20 minutes, and click, I'll go on to the next one.
Right, exactly.
So out of all the zombie movies, there's a billion of them now. Other than George Romero's, is there? You have any favorites?
Yeah, I would say one of my top ones is Train to Busan. I think that's an incredible film, and it did something really cool with the zombie subgenre, and it didn't feel like a rehash of other zombie films, and that's like the first one that comes to mind is Train to Busan. I know that they aren't technically zombies, but 28 Days Later, that's always one that I really enjoy. Yeah, they're infected, but it kind of has that zombie vibe to it. But yeah, I would say like Train to Busan is definitely like at the very top of one of the ones that I really enjoy.
Yeah, that was the one I kind of just fell upon as well. And then I found it online, and then I was just blown away on what it was. So, I mean, I just, like I said, I watch a lot of these zombie films, and if I can't get into it, I click away. But that was one that just sucked me in from beginning to end. And it was a horror film, but I didn't think I was going to shed tears. Oh, man. Oh, my God. I was sitting there. The first time I saw it, I was watching it on my phone at work, and I was just like, what's this coming out of my eyes watching a horror film? but I love that film. That film is amazing. Have you seen that one on Netflix, Kingdom?
Yeah, that show is awesome. I love that show.
Yeah, that's what that was in Korea as well. Those type of zombies reminded me of the ones that were in Kingdom. So I really love that. I can't wait for season two. So, but I think we're going to come close to the end right here. Before we go, can you tell our listeners where they can find your channel and your podcast and everything else?
Yeah, sure. So my channel is on YouTube. It's Desmond's Flicks. I do horror movie reviews over there and retrospectives and some interviews, and also go and check out conventions. So you can find me at Desmond's Flicks on YouTube. And then for the podcast, I'm on both Podbean and iTunes under Desmond's Flicks. So it's pretty easy to find me across both of those channels. And then I'm all over social media at Desmond's Flicks on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And I now have a Facebook group, which is slowly gaining followers. We're having a fun time just talking movies all day long.
Well, that's cool, man. Everyone, follow Desmond on all the platforms. Watch his videos, rate and review them. And I feel like doing that for me as well. Go for it. You don't have to if you don't want to. But definitely check out Desmond Flicks. His YouTube channel has got a ton of content on there for you to watch and enjoy. And, hey, Desmond, thank you so much for coming on, man. I really can't wait to hook up with you and just go to cons and do whatever.
Oh, yeah, man. This was great to come on. Thank you so much for having me. This was a ton of fun.
Right on. Before we go, dude, I see you are a Metallica fan.
It's all about Master of Puppets, man.
There you go. That's my favorite album. What other metal bands or what kind of music do you like to listen to?
It's a pretty wide variety. I mean, I like metal. I also listen to a lot of synthwave. That's what I've been really gravitating towards lately. And I like rock, some hip hop, but mostly like, 90s hip hop. I usually go for like the West Coast rap, from the 90s. But yeah, man, I always go back to like Metallica for, you know, whenever I'm like working out, cause I just love them. I can never get tired of Metallica.
Oh no, never. You a sports fan?
I haven't watched football in a long time, but I will always be a Raiders fan. Growing up in the Bay, I always had to rep the Raiders.
You're going to follow them to Vegas?
I mean, I'm always gonna be Raiders. I'm always gonna be like, I hope that they're successful, because, like, you know, being a kid and growing up, it was all about the Raiders for me. And even when, you know, they weren't here and they were in LA, it was like I still like the Raiders. My rest of my family are Niners fans, but I was the only Raider fan.
Hey, that's just like, well, my little brother's a Raiders fan. Same with thing. I mean, when my mom and dad, I'm Native American, and during the relocation program, they shipped them all to San Francisco. So my dad just became a 49er fan from there on. I've never been a 49er fan, and I never will. You hear that, Steve? I'll never be a 49er fan. As far as the Raiders, I'm an Oakland kid, and if Oakland ain't in front of it, I can't be involved. I didn't follow them to L.A., and I'm not going to follow them to Vegas. It's just a sore subject with me. We got one more season in Oakland, which I'm going to be there as much as I can, but after that. But as far as baseball, I'm A's all the way. So,
I'm not a big sports guy. I just never really got into sports. It was always like video games and you know, collecting comic books for me.
Hey, man, that's all stuff I like too, man, as well, man. But hey, Dez, man, right on, dude. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And yeah, definitely, dude, we will hook up for either a con or just go out and grab a bite to eat next time I'm down there.
For sure, man. Absolutely. Hit me up anytime. Would love to.
All right. All right, guys. I'll be back in a little bit in a second. Right on, man. Again, I want to thank Desmond for coming on the show. Right on, dude. You rock. Thank you so much for doing this for little old me and everybody here at the SkaterNez Podcast Network. But on the real, everybody, do check out this dude's stuff, man. It's awesome. He's got a ton of content on there. His YouTube channel, he already said it, but I'm going to tell you again. That's Desmond's Flicks on YouTube. And listen to his podcast on same title, Desmond's Flicks. Podbean, what is that? Apple Podcasts, and everything else. I'm sure he's on Castbox and Breaker and all those other ones that I'm on. But yeah, man, it's always cool to get to other than to get someone that I really don't know too well. But I mean, it's an awesome way to get to know somebody cool, man, like this, man. And he's straight out of the Bay Area, like me. You know that, Oakland represent. But yeah, man, it was so cool to talk just horror and everything, like I always do with here, East Society, Up to the Challenge, ESP Rewind, which is coming. It's coming, everyone. Just hold your horses. It'll be here. But yeah, we got plenty of stuff to listen to on this network, as well as everything on our Anchor feed. Just search, go on Anchor. There's like 9 different things with that one. I'll just give it a quick plug. Anchor, everyone, do check out that. Check out our shows on there. Just look up East Society Podcast and you will find it all on there. There is a ton of different platforms to hear this show, but the ones I can think of right offhand is Breaker, Castbox, Radio Public, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify. And I think there's some other ones too, but I'm not too sure. I'll get all that list and give it to you later on the next East Society, which is coming later on. We got some couple new movies that we just seen and a bunch of this and that. So also do check out our Brian and I's, I guess you can really check it out. You can still listen to it, but you can listen to our Money in the Bank picks. That's also over there on Anchor. Check it out. But everyone, thank you so much for listening to the show and everything else on the network. Again, Desmond, brother, you rock. Thank you so much for coming on. And sorry my voice is still a little under the weather, everyone. Man, I'm doing my best. But, yeah, hopefully it. I'm not as coffee as I was, so hopefully that's getting better. But I got another episode coming for you really quick. I am going to put that one out pretty quick because I'm going to throw it together tonight. Well, if not tonight, maybe tomorrow. But either way, just get ready for that awesome little interview with I did someone a few months ago, which I'm just going to put that one out of just her and I. Yes, female. Beautiful young woman by the name of Desba Rose. Look her up on Instagram as well as I think she has a page on Facebook as well. But anyway, yeah, her episode is coming up next within the next few days. So check that out. Awesome interview I did with her. It's not going to be very long, but it's kind of just a one-on-one with her and I. But one more time, again, Desmond's Flicks on YouTube and Desmond's Flicks on Podbean and Apple Podcasts. And yeah, man, this brother rocks, man. Again, Des, thank you so much. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I am out of here. And yeah, East Society is coming. So again, like I always say, man, it's a crazy world out there, man. We gotta live together. Let's stay strong. Let's form as one, everyone. So do all that. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your families, most of all. I'm doing my best, man. I'm doing what I gotta do. So everyone, hey, all my friends out there, party. Oh, I want to give a shout out to my friend Becca. I love you. Thank you so much for doing everything. If you heard her voice at East Society every week, and you heard her at the beginning of this podcast, she did my little intro. So right on, Becca. I love you. Thank you so much for doing that for me. And again, I love all you guys. So until next time, just rock hard and skate fast.